even in our own country, for the last 200 years, students have been the core front wave of missionaries in some of the most difficult places on earth. And InterVarsity has been privileged to inherit from the student volunteer movement a trust of God to challenge, motivate, and help connect students to God's mission and fan those flames. And so it's just been fun to walk alongside Urbana and InterVarsity as we see God raising up generation after generation of those who are wanting to give their lives to mission. And though it's a North American event, students all over the world covet the privilege of coming to Urbana to hear some of the greatest thinkers in missionary methodology and in missionary motivation. And this Urbana was no exception. We want to take one chapel, one opportunity to look at what God said and did at Urbana in retrospect. We were part of something that was historic. Should the Lord tarry, 100 years from now, they'll write about things like Urbana 06. And most of us were there. And so it's fun just to stop in these moments where historians are going to look back and reflect on this, to look up close. We were there just a month ago or two. What was it that God was saying and doing? So, Jim, would you come up and let me pray for our time? Lord, thanks for the chance to co-labor with you in the things that you're doing to bring the kingdom more completely to this planet, to bring those who've never heard about your fame or your glory, word that your Son has come to take care of their sins, to give them peace with you. Thanks for the privilege of challenging students who hadn't heard that message completely or in a way that they understood, having numbers turn to you, and to see students make commitments to pour their lives out in order to see Jesus come. Lord, we open our ears and eyes to what you have to say. Mostly we just want to say thank you for the privilege of being able to work with you on this. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Well, we didn't begin with our customary time of worship, and I've already apologized to our worship leader for that, but there is music and some worship that takes place in videos that we'll be seeing, and we were concerned about the time that we had. We're in a changing age when it comes to communications, and just in the 3 years from Urbana 2003 to 2006, there's been an enormous shift in how evaluations and how communications about Urbana come about. And one of the things that we'll be seeing is one vehicle through which some of that is happening already. From Urbana 2003 to 2006, it's not just the event itself, and those of us who are participants in there and seeing all that was happening and God's work there, but it's what's been happening after the event. From the first day of Urbana, which was December 27th, to February 15th, there were 535,000 views of portions of Urbana on video over the internet, which is almost three times what it was in 2003. So 535,000 people. Some of them were the same people viewing different parts of it, but were coming on and logging onto the web and watching what was happening, and that's continuing. I mean, the explosion that's sort of coming from the web. And so part of what we'll be doing today is presenting in three different parts. The beginning will be a summary video for those of you who weren't able to be at Urbana, and for those of you who were, can remind you of some of our times that were there. The second, and that's our interpretation of what happened at Urbana, or part of what had happened at Urbana. And then we get a student interpretation of what happened at Urbana. And I've not seen this video. It's YouTube. I've been assured it's interesting. And I believe it comes from a Vietnamese church. Is that right, Christy?
Yeah,
it's a Vietnamese church in California. And they put this together to thank the church for sending these students out there. And so this is their interpretation of what happened. So we'll have a look at that. And then Lisa's going to share some about what happened in the International Students Track there, and then some of the follow-up that's happened over here at Blackhawk, some of the things that are going on and continuing on in the lives of people. And then at the end, there's an opportunity for us to give thanks and praise to God in a little exercise that I'll introduce at the end of these introductory comments here at the beginning. One of the questions that has been asked of me a lot following Urbana, it was in 2003 and it's no less in 2006, is how are you feeling? You know, how are you doing? What's your perception of Urbana, and you know, how are you doing spiritually? How are you doing in your life and all of that? And I have to say, I think we've done a little better after 2006 than in 2003. I didn't know what to expect in 2003, and the recovery was much more difficult than it appears to have been so far in 2006. But there certainly are recovery issues, and all of us face it when we give ourselves in that kind of a way. And I was trying to think of what was an illustration of a good description of what that would be. And I made an analogy for an earlier time in my life, and it was this. I can remember when we were living overseas, when we were living in Cyprus. It's an island in the eastern Mediterranean, not too far from Turkey and from Lebanon, tucked into the corner. It was where Paul went on his first missionary journey. That's the first place that he stopped, and Barnabas was from the island of Cyprus. And we were there for 16 years. And towards the end of that time, with a family of four children, six of us, we would have our time in the United States every other year for about 2 months. And there would be this mad tearing around living in people's basements. The only time that we would have to be alone with ourselves was if we were camping, you know, out in a tent. So we had a tent, and we used to camp some as a family during those times. And then there'd be the mad rush of getting everything together, no meals together and time together as a family, and coming back and arriving in Cyprus at 2, 3 in the morning, which is when most of the planes arrive in Cyprus, and finding our way up to our house and opening the windows because it's 90-plus degrees in the house. Dust has settled in the 2 months during there, even with the windows closed. Everything is still. There's this heavy weight. And I would have this profound sense of God's grace to us. You know, the family would go to bed. Beth would be asleep if she was with me, because oftentimes we traveled alone because there were operations and other things that would happen. The kids would be asleep, and I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep. And the day was getting started, and there's this expectation of what's going to happen. And here it is, that God has come and has helped us in this. And the thought that would go through my mind was, Ebenezer, hitherto has the Lord helped us. That means stone of help. That's what the word Ebenezer means. And that would come to me. And let me read the scripture passage where this is introduced in 1 Samuel 7, 10 through 13, and then say how this relates to Urbana. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And the men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far as the Lord helped us. And the word Ebenezer means stone of help. And the point of this was that they were following God and doing what God had called them to do. And when a huge event came, God intervened and came down in a mighty way and did something for them. And I believe that that's what happened at Urbana. I believe that God came and showed his glory and showed his presence in a way that none of us expected. It exceeded our expectations. The way it came together, given all the little pieces that we were putting together and all the little things that went wrong and some of the big things that went wrong, it came together in a very, very special way. And so there was that profound sense of arriving back home and feeling safe in one sense, you know, phew, this difficult time is over, and then a sense of looking forward to what is to come. And I would like us in this chapel today to think in terms of putting up an Ebenezer, a stone of remembrance, a stone of help, that God has helped us in this Urbana, and not to forget what it was that he did. We have a ways to go in Urbana for those of us who are still working on it. There are reports, there's the finances to sort out and get those things done. There are 1,000 comments from InterVarsity staff about how we could make Urbana just that much better if we would just, you know, those are coming in, and we're collating that information, and I'm sure we'll want to utilize that. And we had all of this great results, and then there are other things about, well, maybe this could be better and that could be better, and we're taking that in. Last week we had a program review where we went over different aspects of program communications and web communications and looked at that and looked at what we would dream of for the future. Today we begin at a two-day review, a missiological review of what was it that we were aiming at in Urbana. What were our goals, and were they the right goals, and did we achieve those goals, and what should be the goals, and what is it that we might be thinking about and looking at as we look at Urbana 2009, trying to get the bigger picture of what it is that's being communicated to this this generation and understanding it in the context. And we have a long ways to go, and there are many things to do, and it's difficult not to get wrapped up in the weeds of fixing little things here and there. And as we move away from Urbana, that suddenly becomes the dominant theme. And so it's great to have this Urbana on February 28th, 2 months out from the event, to stop and say, let's put up the stone of help and remind ourselves that God was with us in a mighty way. He took us in and he gave us this privilege of being able to see what happened at the convention, and now takes us on from there. And so we'll go through what I explained earlier with the video, and then the two videos, and then Lisa will speak, and then we'll come back at the end, and I'll invite us to participate in an exercise. Actually, we began with the program review last week. Judy Johnson was leading us in the devotions at the beginning and at the end, and part of that was to think, when we think of what God has done at Urbana, what adjective or what attribute of God or name of God comes to your mind when you think about that? Because it's to the glory and praise of God that what happened. It isn't from the things that we've done. And we would invite you, I would like to invite you to come and add your name or your attribute or your idea in that last part of the thing. We have a number of pens and you can come and write them on to this poster of Urbana at the end. So you might be thinking about that as you watch some of the things that happen here. Okay? Thank you.
I didn't realize I would be so moved just watching that summary video, so I need to just kind of calm down a little bit. Really, because it's just so amazing. God spoke to everyone through different means, at different times, and through different messengers. That's quite clear at Urbana. My daughter, who's a freshman in college, said to me, "Mom, we beat the system. 3 people went to Panera and ordered our food at 8 o'clock in the morning. The others were saving seats, and another part of the group picked up the coffee. So we beat the system." She was so proud. She beat the system of the company I worked for. One of my guests stayed for 24 hours only. And when I talked to her on the phone, her voice was 2 octaves high in excitement, even a month after the event. She happens to be my older sister, but that's kind of understandable. But she was really excited about what God has done. A pastor said to me, "I will never preach again without doing manuscript Bible study before standing up to my congregation." Convention employee said, "I can't wait till 2009 because I'm right here on the floor. My assignment was on the floor and I heard everything. I can't wait 3 years from now." God has spoken through the different tracks, through the Open for Business, through the slums track. We're all just excited about how God met each individual. And there's no better way to capture it than just read to you what they have said. We produce a summary of some of the quotes from the Urbana track, and they're all available with photos and quotes. And our summary video will also be available on our website soon. But let me just read to you a few of those testimonies, and they're not even in this summary. "The first word that comes to my mind about Urbana 06 is hope. To see such a large number of God's children gather in one place to glorify Him was an unimaginable experience. We were no more Sri Lankans, Indians, Africans, or Americans in St. Louis. All of us were Christians who belonged to the kingdom of God. Urbana was really a life-transforming experience. Urbana was a great experience. Urbana was a milestone." I mean, these are superlatives. These are not students who were bribed by staff workers to say something because they're sending that to their supporters and donors. But these are really true experiences of international students who came and met God in very different and profound ways. "Urbana 06 called me to go back home to serve my own country. Sri Lanka is torn by war and poverty. Each day so many people die due to due to these two main factors. I came to the USA to get out of all that suffering and painful surrounding. But as I spent each day in Urbana, the call to go back home was made clearer as each day passed by. I was looking for ways that I could combine my education, experience, and knowledge to serve God in some way. Urbana made me realize that the best way to do it was to go back home where I was needed most. I do not have a clue of how I was going to do this, but I believe that if God wants me back home, He will have a plan and a way for me to do it for Him. The healing He brought at Urbana in my life, especially through the ministry of prayer, sealed me with the assurance that the Lord was in control of my marriage. This lady just found out that she probably was infertile and couldn't have children, and brought that burden to Urbana, and God met her very powerfully. And of course, that one of the highlights was the reconciliation that happened with the Koreans and the Japanese. It was so profound, and the Japanese spoke to the Koreans and asked for forgiveness for what had happened in the past during the war and the brutality that the Koreans experienced in the hands of the Japanese. And that spilled over to the Taiwanese and the mainland Chinese, who also felt that if they could be reconciled, we can be reconciled too, because we are one in Christ, specially emphasized in the book of Ephesians. A Korean had captured a different aspect of Urbana. He said, "You cannot imagine how much I appreciate our track as well as Urbana itself. One more thing I have to tell you this. Thank you for the Korean songs. When I heard the songs, of course I cried. I felt like God called me to sing this song for me with 22,000 friends. All the other songs, I think I sang for God. But the Korean songs, I believe God sang for me. How amazing His love is. I don't think I can thank you enough." Rich Henderson and I and my husband led a follow-up meeting with Black Hawk people regarding their experience with Urbana. And so Rich and I figured out a time and allotment of what we would do. So we would have them share, and I would pick up and ask them what next steps they would take as follow-up. Well, by the time it was my turn, I didn't have anything to ask because they were just so excited about the follow-up steps they were already doing. So I felt superfluous sitting there. But the thing was, they came with their journals, they came with stories, and they said they drove together, and some of them are not even university students, they drove together to Urbana, they drove back to Madison, and they had a plan. The ringleader was a Christian student from Hong Kong who said, "I'm going to come to a party school and bring prayer to this community." And he prayed with those students, and they've been praying since. And they've been gone to State Street and been sharing the gospel with strangers. And I feel like, what else do you want for a follow-up? And they got their journals, and they said, Richardson said this, if you want to share the gospel, you have to build trust, and then you have to tell the truth. So trust and truth. So she picked that up. And that's how she's doing her evangelism. And another girl picked up her journal and read from, notes from the seminar. And I felt like God knows what He's doing, and the students have come hungry to be informed and to be transformed. So we're excited because of what God is doing. It's not only what God did at Urbana, but what God is doing after Urbana.
And as we close, I'll close in prayer. And then what I would like to ask is that as we go, if we could do it in silence, and if you would like to add a name of an attribute for God as you think about Urbana, as you've been praying for Urbana, if you weren't able to be there and knew about it, or if you were present there, add it to this list that's here. This is something that we would like to keep, and we invite you to be a part of that on your way out today. So that's how we will close chapel today. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you for the work that you did in so many ways, in so many lives. And we realize that the stories that we know and that we hear are only one small fraction of what it is that you are doing in the world. And the lives that were affected are enormous, and are enormous in number, and that like the waves and the ripples in a pond, as a stone goes in, they go on and on forever as they touch other lives and move out and touch other people in other places. So we thank you for the great work, and we thank you for the privilege of you calling into varsity to be part of that, and that our chance to serve you in that way. Be with us today, and be with us as some of us recover from Urbana, and all of us press on with the work that you've called us to do, that we will be a people who remember that you have helped us this far, and that you will help us into the future. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.